The structure of a molecule is dependent on the structure of the atoms of which it is composed. Science has recently found that in order for two atoms of hydrogen to associate themselves as a molecule, their respective single electrons must have opposite directions of rotation or spin. Thus we see the positive, negative association into oneness reflected even in the molecule. Like planets, some molecules possess rotational energy and others, such as the diatomic symmetrical molecules of hydrogen, nitrogen and oxygen, do not. When atoms or molecules are arranged in perfect order, the result is known as a crystal. Irregularity of atomic or molecular order results in a fluid. A true solid state is always in a definite crystalline form. Crystals of pure metals have recently been studied, and it has been found that different crystal faces of a metal behave as if they were entirely different metals. Evidently, the crystalline geometrical forms determined by the electromagnetic field of the atoms produce a differing field on each face. Crystals which do not have identical characteristics in all directions, not cubic, are called anisotropic crystals. When a ray of light enters an anisotropic crystal, it is split into two components which travel with different velocities and follow different paths. Perhaps the crystal is here dividing the positive and negative light lines of force. Another interesting fact of molecular structure that has recently been revealed is that the thousands of atoms in fibrous protein molecules, such as those composing hair, horn, fingernail, muscle and porcupine quill, are arranged in the form of a helix. This form results when asymmetric objects, the amino acids, are joined together in such a way that each one has the same geometrical relationship to its neighbors. Some of these molecules then form a compound helix or a coil of coils, etc. Thus science is discovering the linking forms between the atom and the biological structures. An electron micrograph of a bacterial flagellum has shown a 3-strand cable which by its diameter suggests it is a 7-strand cable of 7-strand cables. The space people have said that the forms of crystals within the blood are the source of energy for man's every motion. The crystals in the blood, by diffusing, refracting and reflecting the positive and negative light lines of force, and by opposing polarized conditions, bring about the flow of the blood by light energy and as a result, the functioning of the heart. The fact that there are crystals within the bloodstream is significant in relation to the use of the crystalline form in the type 2 fireball. For more information on them, see the harvesters in this book in the section called Other Flesh. Man, intermediate between the microcosm and the macrocosm, shows similarity to the atomic structure in the expansion and contraction of his muscles, in his rhythmic breathing to sustain life, and his shell, like fields of vibration surrounding the visible body. Dr. Cecil Bowerby of Los Angeles, California, recently reported that he has succeeded in photographing 4 distinct fields of vibration around the human body which are in various colors invisible to the naked eye. They are, respectively, about 1/2 inch, 6 inches, 3 feet, and 9 feet and over from the skin. He believes the 4th field is the strongest, that is, most extensive when persons radiate strong feelings, especially those of love and peace. Now let us consider our own solar system. In 1-2-3, infinity, Dr. George Gamow says, the picture of an atom began to look more like a miniature solar system with an atomic nucleus for the sun, and electrons for planets. The analogy with the planetary system can be further strengthened by these facts. The atomic nucleus contains 99.97% of the total atomic mass as compared with 99.87% of the solar system concentrated in the Sun, and the distances between the planetary electrons exceed their diameters by about the same factor, several thousand times, which we find when comparing interplanetary distances with the diameters of the planets. The more important analogy lies, however, in the fact that the electric attraction, forces between the atomic nucleus and the electrons obey the same mathematical law of inverse square, that is, the forces are inversely proportionate to the square of the distance between two bodies, as the gravity forces acting between the Sun and the planets. This makes the electrons describe the circular and elliptic trajectories around the nucleus, similar to those along which the planets and comets move and the solar system. However, physicists have stressed the fact that an atom differs from the solar system by the fact that it is not gravitation that makes electrons go round the nucleus, but electricity. H. N. Russell. But what difference does it make, since gravity and electricity are both manifestations of electromagnetism? This is an example of scientists calling effect, cause. If they looked beyond gravitational and electrical phenomena, they would find the cause of both, which is electromagnetism. Another difference was also discovered. An electron in an atom, on absorbing the energy of a photon, light, jumps to another orbit, and again to another when it emits light and releases the energy of a photon. Because of this phenomenon, comparison with the solar system did not seem valid. A critic said, "We do not read in the morning newspapers that Mars leapt to the orbit of Saturn, or Saturn to the orbit of Mars." This is true, we do not read it in the newspapers, but the atom with its system of electrons rotating around the central nucleus resembles the planetary system. In considering the atom, the jumping of electrons from one orbit to another, when hit by the energy of a photon, takes place many times a second, whereas in accord with the vastness of the solar system, a similar phenomenon occurs the once in thousands of years. Our own solar system has experienced displacements in its planetary members over the centuries, and this is similar to the orbit jumping of an electron. The circular motion of an electron around the nucleus of an atom, or a planet around the sun of a solar system, gives rise to an intensive electromagnetic radiation, and in this action they are identical. The circular motion referred to is an effect of intersecting lines of force. Now let us consider the galactic system. Toward the center of the galactic system is found the nuclear region, which corresponds to the sun of a solar system and the nucleus of an atom. The many solar systems revolving about the nucleus region of a galaxy correspond to planets revolving about a sun and electrons revolving about an atomic nucleus. At present, astronomers are wondering whether magnetic fields exist in the galaxy. Cosmic radiation suggests an answer. The intensity of cosmic radiation is almost the same anywhere on the globe. This indicates that magnetic fields are bringing about a random distribution of cosmic rays in space. Cosmic ray evidence is considered the strongest argument for the existence of these fields. If an atom and a solar system operate in an electromagnetic field, we would expect to find a galaxy also operating in such a field. The rotation at the edges of a spiral galaxy is slower than near the center, just as the outer planets in the solar system travel slower than those near the sun. The new word in astronomy is magneto-hydrodynamics. Scientists say that interstellar space is now known to be pervaded by magnetic fields. Presumably they are produced by electric currents circulating in space, say the astronomers. Modern theory begins to visualize a galaxy as a tremendous electromagnet, with currents of electrons flowing not through wires but through the viscous, turbulent eddies of gas swirling about its center. Electromagnetic forces seem competent to do what turbulence alone cannot do. They might form discrete arms and even lead to the formation of stars and clusters of stars. The modern theory of a galaxy, according to astronomers, promises to be as intricate as the now richly observed structural details. 10 years ago, in their hypotheses of cosmic evolution, they were thinking in terms of gravitation and light pressure. Only yesterday they realized they may contemplate a galaxy that is essentially a gravitating, turbulent electromagnet. Now let us consider the supergalaxy. Recent evidence obtained by photographic and radio astronomy indicates that our disk shaped galaxy we call the Milky Way is itself a member of a disk-shaped galaxy or supergalaxy. The supergalaxy of which we are a member may have a population of tens of thousands of galaxies. Its nucleus is marked by the cluster of galaxies in the constellation Virgo. Radio waves are picked up from the supergalaxy just as they are picked up from near galaxies and the Milky Way. from study of the radial velocities of galaxies. The indication is that the inner metagalaxy, that is the nearest regions of extra galactic space, is rotating. This rotation is believed to be a property of the local supergalaxy. Several other supergalaxies have been found, indicating the possibility or rather probability of a hierarchy of systems of ever greater size ad infinitum. Also, scientists have come to the conclusion that the universe has been expanding since about 5 billion years ago, before which it was contracting. Even the universe is breathing, as do the lines of force that bring about the atom. Space intelligences have said, progression is only recorded by change, and one who understands even his present environment is indeed a master. In 1888, S. Harris said, "Suns and planets and cosmic forces are the words in which his thoughts are written." Chapter 3. Magnetism, the Universal IAM. In the discussion of the Grand Man of the Universe, we have shown the similarity, or oneness of all creation from microcosm to macrocosm. When we previously mentioned an electromagnetic field or vortex, we were referring to the fourth great primary force, or the resonating electromagnetic field, RMF, which present-day science knows nothing about, although they suspect its existence. The four forces are static, magnetic field, SM, as in a bar magnet, electro, static field, S, as in a charged capacitor, electro, magnetic wave, M, as radio waves, light, heat, etc., resonating electromagnetic field, RMF, like that of all celestial bodies, operating in a vortex, spacecraft propulsion field, the basis of life, the elemental life. Throughout space are positive and negative parallel light lines of force running between each other at right angles and consisting of charged particles vibrating at varying rates, producing a rhythmic wave effect of bands. These lines of force also vary in the number of particles they contain in a given distance, that is, they vary in their density. When negative and positive lines or bands, equal to the diameter of the particle to be, with equal densities and vibrations cross, a vortex is set up which condenses the positive particles and these become substance. As nuclei, either a proton, atomic nucleus, or a comet, early evolutionary form of a planet, or a sun, nucleus of a solar system. The negative particles are condensed as the resonating electromagnetic field, vortex, of an atom, a planet, or a sun. When the positive particles have condensed sufficiently, and the surrounding negative vortex has gained sufficient strength, the insulating force of pure light between and around the positive and negative forces is reduced and polarity is set up from the flux motion of the positive and negative. A strong vortex is indicated by flattened poles, oblateness, and equatorial bulging in the particle. If the vortex breaks, the substance disappears as it returns into the solution of the light lines of force, known as the ether or space. The vortex of the planet Lucifer, the planet now known as the asteroid belt, broke through hydrogen experimentation. When the particle is sufficiently polarized, rotation results from the constant application of the positive and negative light forces to the vortex. A comet travels in the currents of the sun's vortex, RMF, until its own vortex, RMF, breaks. The Andromedes, or Beeled meteors, move in the path of the lost Beeler's comet, which disintegrated and was last seen in 1852, or it becomes sufficiently powerful to attain an orbit of its own, in which case it becomes a planet. Now let us consider three bodies which operate in a resonating electromagnetic field of force. 1. The Sun, acting as a nucleus. 100 years ago, in 1854, the eminent astronomer Sir William Herschel suggested that the Sun may be inhabited and that the inhabitants may no more suffer from intense heat than those who live in the tropical regions of Earth. He believed the Sun to be a cool body, not a hot, flaming gas ball. Since it has been shown that the satellite planets are magnetic in nature, it is only right to assume that the governing body that rules those planets is also magnetic in nature. So, we might say that the Sun is the magnetic brain or ganglion of our entire solar system. Its forces are the directing intelligence of all the functions of our system. It is from this great central nuclear body that the planets draw their magnetic energy so that they, too, may generate forces. The Sun's vortex is very intense, as would be expected of such a huge body, and it must extend to the very outer limits of the system. Its atmosphere has three main layers: the chromosphere, the reversing layer, and the photosphere. Completely enveloping these layers is the corona. When photographed in hydrogen light, the Sun displays its magnetic structure very well. Such a photograph shows a grainy effect very similar to that produced when iron filings are sprinkled in a magnetic field. Scientists today state that the Sun is a gigantic atomic furnace radiating a tremendous amount of heat to the satellite planets each second. The temperature at its surface is said to be thousands of degrees, and the internal temperature is supposedly in the millions of degrees. However, it is unexplainable how super heated gases can act magnetically. For, it is an elementary fact of physics that a substance loses its magnetism when heated. Since astronomers have definitely recorded magnetic effects upon the Sun, we have a direct conflict between the Sun's true nature and the suggested temperature. This conflict only indicates that the Sun is not the super heated mass of gases that scientists think it is, but rather a cool body, as Herschel said it was. There is much evidence to prove that the Sun is, indeed, a cool body. The process of determining the Sun's temperature is very complex and involves the radiation laws of physics. Fundamentally, here is how such temperatures are determined: the radiation of the body per square centimeter per second, times the body's effective temperature quadrupled, equals the rate of radiation quadruple times the body's luminosity divided by its diameter squared. In solving for the Sun, one comes up with an average of 5,900 absolute degrees. The mathematics involved is agreeable, but astronomers base their calculations on these two assumptions. First, they assume the Sun is a perfect radiating body. Second, and most important, they assume that the Sun is radiating heat. This is because they believe that heat on Earth, as well as heat on other planetary bodies, comes directly from the Sun. People feel the heat when they stand in sunlight, so they say the Sun must be a burning mass radiating that heat. That is like saying a radio transmitter radiates sound waves, because when we turn on our radios, we hear sound. But we know that such a transmitter radiates radio waves, and that these waves are turned into sound inside the radio. In 1543, a great comet came closer to the Sun than any previous comet had, and this was repeated by another comet in 1882. They actually entered the Sun's corona, which supposedly has a temperature of 1 million degrees absolute. These comets traveled over 1 million kilometers through this blazing corona and emerged unscathed and with no change in velocity or direction. If the Sun is radiating heat, why weren't these comets instantly disintegrated upon entering a tremendous heat of 1 million absolute degrees? Surely nothing could survive such a treatment. Astronomers have told us that the planet Mercury is devoid of life because it is only 36 million miles from the Sun. They have told us that if Mercury was any closer, it would have turned into nothingness long ago. How then did the two comets survive without at least showing some effects of their journey through the Sun's corona? We must conclude that the answer is that the Sun does not radiate heat, as such. Therefore, it cannot be any kind of a super-hot body. The prominences supply us with some more proof of the above conclusion. These prominences are said to be hydrogen gas explosions and first appear in the Sun's photosphere. There are many theories, but as yet astronomers have been puzzled over their origin. The behavior of these so-called hydrogen clouds of gas contradicts one of the oldest, and supposedly, most stable law of physics, the law of gravity of Newton. Some prominences travel at the unbelievable speed of 450 meters.p.s. and reach an altitude of 1 million miles, that's 190,000 miles more than the Sun's diameter. To add to the oddity of this phenomenon, is the fact that these prominences rise to fantastic heights, and then just hang in mid-air, unsupported, in complete defiance of Newton's law of gravity. Others appear to materialize from nowhere, and hang motionless. Surely the Sun with all its tremendous mass and pulling power could bring these prominences down again if they were composed of hydrogen gas. Astronomers say they are composed of such gas because the spectroscope has labeled them such. But the spectroscope is very inaccurate because between the Sun's atmosphere and this instrument, the atmosphere of the Earth intervenes, and the upper atmosphere of our planet contains almost pure hydrogen. This could be the hydrogen that astronomers say is on the Sun. Sunspots and prominences have puzzled scientists for years, yet they are part of the same phenomenon. Sunspots and prominences are manifestations of the Sun's auroral activity as viewed from different angles. They have never photographed the solar prominences except at the edge of the Sun. Prominences take the form, or appear as sunspots when seen on the face of the Sun. The shape and particulars of the prominences cannot be observed unless the light of the Sun is blotted out. These prominences are not super-heated hydrogen gas because their very behavior proves otherwise. They behave as forces, not as elements, gas, etc. The prominence force of the Sun is similar to the auroral force emanating from the polar vents of the Earth. This auroral force is known as the aurora borealis in the northern hemisphere, and the aurora australis in the southern hemisphere. The names, northern and southern lights, are also given to this phenomenon. This Earth force, which is continually being sent into the atmosphere, has the exact characteristics of the prominence force of the Sun. Although it is continually emanating from the Earth, it is only seen at certain times when atmospheric conditions are right. The auroral and prominence forces are identical. Under the thick atmosphere of the Sun are hidden planetary bodies which are emanating aurora forces known on the Sun as prominence forces. The fact that there are planets under the Sun's photosphere is also evident from the fact that in atomic structure the electrons are balanced by an equal number of protons within the nucleus. This makes a balanced system. The prominence forces manifest in the atmosphere of the hidden, or inner planets, pass through their electromagnetic field, then manifest once again in the atmosphere of the Sun. Then what about the so-called hanging prominences which materialize from nowhere in the upper atmosphere of the Sun? The solution to this baffling question can be found easily. When the auroral forces of the outer planets, Earth, Mars, etc., pass through their vortex or electromagnetic field, they are ultimately drawn into the great Sun body where they manifest. At this stage, astronomers observe the hanging prominences which materialize from nowhere. Another puzzle that has confronted astronomers is that some sunspots appear to have polarity, and that some prominences are pulled mysteriously toward certain sunspots. Prominences and sunspots have already been shown to be manifestations of the auroral activity of the hidden or inner planets under the Sun's photosphere. There are 12 inner planets and 12 outer planets. Astronomers ask why sunspots arise at the more or less irregular intervals of 11 years, and why do first spots of a new series appear in high latitudes, and why is there a slow progression of the spots toward the solar equator as the sunspot cycle advances, and why is there a change in polarity of sunspots in alternate cycles? The answers to these questions will give an accurate and complete theory of sunspots, and the answers lie in the fact that the inner or hidden planets create these conditions by their periods of rotation and revolution. Heat and light are effects of the positive rays of the Sun. Heat is felt on the Earth because the Sun's positive rays intersect with its negative atmosphere and crust, causing a friction or change in the quality of motion of the particles given off as heat radiation in consequence of this friction. The effect of the Sun's rays on the Earth's atmosphere is also responsible for the phenomenon of visible light, which results from a different kind of motion of the particles. The eyes are only sensitive to positive light rays reflected from negative substance, thus light is an interaction of negative and positive forces. The Sun does not send us heat and light, although it is responsible for its manifestation on Earth. The sun sends only positive lines of force which interact with the negative crust and atmosphere of the Earth to produce the phenomena of the electromagnetic spectrum, which includes heat and light. Science has explored the upper atmosphere of the Earth and found that 60 miles above the Earth artificial light is needed, and 90 miles above the Earth it is dark as pitch. The higher we go, the colder it gets, so we see even by logic that heat and light do not come from the sun. They only lines of force come from the great sun body. Since distance and nearness to the sun have nothing to do with whether a planet is boiling or frigid, we can immediately see that all planets in our solar system have nearly the same climate. The Earth does not enjoy perfect climate because it is unbalanced magnetically. What has been learned from space visitors about our sun is not really anything new, but only a return to the ageless wisdom possessed by the Earth's most ancient races. These students of the long ago said that the true color of the sun was blue. And it is interesting to note that the musical note of blue is sol, a name for the sun, itself. 2. The planet Earth, acting as an electron. As already stated, a comet is an early evolutionary form of a planet. But the behavior of a vortex in the formation of a particle such as the Earth has already been discussed. H.D. Statson, research associate, MIT, says, "The source and nature of the Earth's magnetism is still one of the great mysteries of science. It is still a great mystery because the fourth great primary force, RMF, is not understood. When it is understood, the key will be found to many of the present-day problems of science. We cannot think of the orbit of the Earth as being merely a circle or ellipse, because it is a spiral also. This is because the Sun is moving through space at many miles a second. The Earth's orbit could only be an ellipse or circle if the Sun were standing still. Remember, the Earth is carried along within the solar vortex, RMF, in addition to following its own orbit. The Earth's auroral force emanates from the polar vents at both North and South poles. The positive light lines of force leave at the North Pole vent, and the negative light lines of force leave at the South Polar vent. The bending of these light lines of force when they leave the polar vents manifests as their aurora under proper atmospheric conditions, and they follow the general form of the RMF. Reports state that recent polar expeditions have discovered the actual vents or openings that lead into the interior of the Earth at the North and South poles. Ancient tradition asserts the existence of a fountain of life in the bowels of the Earth and in the North Pole. It is there. Blood of the Earth, the electromagnetic current, which circulates through all the arteries, and which is said to be found stored in the navel of the Earth. Jimak noted the resemblance or structure between meteorites and volcanic products. This is because both meteorites and matter or bombs ejected by volcanoes are created in the vortex. The bombs ejected from volcanoes do not come from the bowels of the Earth, but are actually created within the volcanic vortex, which is a sub-vortex of the Earth's RMF. Hurricanes, known also as cyclones and typhoons, are the most dangerous storms on Earth. Their vortex may cover 500,000 square miles. Sometimes a hurricane generates a number of tornadoes on its fringes. Hurricanes sometimes spend energy equivalent to that of several thousand atomic bombs per second. Therefore, we can see the tremendous power of a vortex. The heavy rains carried by a hurricane are concentrated in great spiraling lines which run inward, showing again the universal spiral form. Tornadoes, whirlpools, etc., are sub-vortices within the Earth's vortex. Blaeti shows two views of the RMF of a nuclear particle. Figure 1 shows a side view of the RMF surrounding a nuclear particle. Figure 2 shows the same RMF viewed from above, and looking down toward the polar vent area. In these illustrations, the nuclear particle is shown as a black sphere. This sphere can represent an electron, an atomic nucleus, a saucer, a moon, a planet, a sun, the nuclear area of a galaxy, or the nuclear area of a supergalaxy, in their respective resonating electromagnetic fields. The shape of galaxies, spiral nebulae, as observed through the telescope, is the perfect shape of an RMF. This shape is seen throughout the creation from microcosm to macrocosm, and the form is universal. Other examples would be the form of Saturn with its rings, and the shape of several types of spacecraft, saucers. Celestial bodies and saucers take the shape of their respective RMF, that's why there is so much similarity.